Hi, on this 17th of November 2019, this is PJ. I got a question. If there was a survey given to each of us as adults, regardless of our age, and each of us were asked if we thought that the principles by which we were raised, and I'm not talking about Christianity, I'm not talking about that, I'm not talking about religion. The principles which we were raised by, if we had children today, would our children be far better children than the children that are raised by parents today? You know, it's quick. And I'm one of those people that was quick to say that, well, the child is that way because of bad parenting. Well, in some cases, quite a few, that could be the right estimate. Some people have children and they have no business having children, because they don't have the foggiest idea of how to raise another human being in a society that demands restrictive behavior. I like to put it that way. Because, you know, y'all won't let me preach to you anymore, so I'm not going to preach to you. I'm not going to waste my time. Because, see, you think that I think that I'm better than you. I'm not. I'm a totally depraved caricature, an example of humanity. I would be the first to admit that. But I'm, you know, the specific question that I'm asking, and I'd like some of you that are childless, meaning that you haven't started fathering or mothering children yet, to listen to this webcast. I'm referring to, if you really want me to be specific about it, and I think that I can, I just want to make sure that everything is still functioning here. Okay, it is. Because what I'd like to do is I'd like to give reference to the news article that came out from Santa Clarita, California. It says that a candlelight vigil is planned Sunday evening, this evening as a matter of fact, to remember two students that were shot and killed by a classmate in his Southern California high school as investigators tried to determine what prompted the deadly attack that left three other teens wounded. Two dead, three wounded, and I guess that's including the one that killed himself, they say, because I understand that the sheriffs didn't kill the kid, that the kid must have committed suicide. Saugus High School will remain closed until December the 2nd, but counselors will be available to help students cope with their grief, said school district officials in the Los Angeles suburb of Santa Clarita. Now, I feel like getting hyperventilative here, but because of the families and the loved ones of the deceased, I won't. Because you know what I'm there. Why deprive the other children of an education because of this incident? Well, I'll address that later, because I don't want to address what the school board is doing. I'd like to address why, what could have prompted such savage behavior out of a teenager. Now, a friend of mine called me this morning while he was on the way to church with his children, and he said to me, he was asking me what did I think was instrumental in, you know, this. And I told him, come on, man, these children are not given the restrictions that we were given when we were children coming up. They're looking into the family. I think the young lad that did the killing and shot himself. Now, that was a brave thing to do. I mean, why you want to... I understand recently his father, that's what a friend of mine told me, that his father had died. And since his father died, I don't know, maybe he lost all cognitive dissonance and staying alive and doing things decently. I don't know. I live in Los Angeles, and Crenshaw High is the nearest high school to me. And if there is a white person attending that school, I wouldn't know it. But this was a predominantly white high school in Santa Clarita or Saugus Hills. And very nice neighborhoods. Most of the people living out there got great jobs, great homes, parents making a lot of money. And this half Asian, half Hispanic kid, I think he was, lives in a household with numerous guns. And I'm not against guns because I have one here in my house. One very similar to the one that he used to shoot. And it was not necessarily registered to the family, I understand. I haven't read everything. I'm just commenting. And I wanted, you know, ask the centralized question. Because I personally think that the way parents today raise their children can be instrumentally tapped into as why these things take place. Now, I go to another article that came up on the news grid, and it was entitled, A Community in Shock Describes, wait a minute, let me see if this is, because I don't think that's the same. It was a CNN article. Oh yeah, here it is. It was a CNN article. Concerning a teacher who began to be in an altercation with a female student in her classroom. One of the other students was in the classroom and used their cell phone, and the clip opens up with the teacher, a black woman, speaking to a black female student in the classroom. And I'm just going to play this video. You can find it on CNN. As I'm watching this, the teacher speaking and the student went to pass by the teacher. I don't know what the female student said to the female teacher, but this black female teacher all of a sudden started hitting the student and then kicking the student down and attacks her. And the students try to jump in and stop the fight. And I'd like to stop the video right here, because about 2 weeks ago I was talking with a man that was a school teacher in the Chicago school district, and he was unemployed. And I said, so what did you do? I was just talking with him, and he said, I was a teacher. And I said, well, you're in Los Angeles now. They hire substitute teachers. As a matter of fact, they need teachers. why don't you go on down to LA Unified? I said, you don't have a police record, do you? And, no, So I said, so why aren't you functioning as a teacher? Why won't you get a job? And I'm taking my time with this because of the answer that he gave me. I said, why aren't you taking your time getting a job working as a teacher in LA Unified? This man is, I think he said he was 52, 53, something like that. And I said, you're not too old. You got a, you know, good couple of years. And I exchanged and told him that I was a teacher, albeit a college professor. And this is what he said to me. He said, I had to get out of that classroom in Chicago from teaching black children because either I would be dead or one of them would be dead or I'd be in prison for the rest of my life. I couldn't believe what I heard. And I said, you've got to be kidding me. He said, these children, if you can call them that, because they're I guess when the female student must have passed by the teacher, she must have disrespected the black teacher so much that she just lost her mind and commenced to attack and to give that young lady in that classroom the ass whooping that she possibly deserved. Because it doesn't look like it was back and forth. The teacher was saying something and the student went to pass by the teacher and the teacher went off on the student. Now, the courts will handle the black teacher. My question for you, the listeners of my webcast, is not what Anthony Hamilton would say on his record, ain't nobody listening and caring. No, I think that the people that raise children today have, well, the standard has been totally lowered. Totally lowered. There was a time when, all right, listen to me. There was a time when an old man like me with white hair and a crutch would get on a bus or a train and there were no seats. And the people could see the old man wincing in pain. In pain, because when you get older, you know, and someone would get up and offer their seat to the older person. You think youngsters would do that today? No, is the answer. There was a time when you would see anyone in your community struggling to let's say, pull a trash can out of the backyard from the driveway and put it in front of the house. And a bunch of teenagers would be walking home from school and seeing the woman or the person that's slightly incapacitated trying to do that. And they would say, ma'am, let me help you with that, please. I'm Johnny Jones's son. I live around the block. I'm your neighbor. Let me help you with that trash can, if I may. Now, that person would say, well, thank you, son. Thank you, young lady. I really appreciate that. They wouldn't think about, no, don't let that kid handle that because if the trash can scratches him and cuts him, then I could be sued. There was nothing like that when I grew up as a kid. What our children are being raised, well, I have to put it this way. I can only imagine what my friend heard when he went to his church today. If they're listening to a conservative pastor, the conservative pastor is going to say, we need to take the guns from everybody. Well, flip you. You aren't taking mine. I'm not giving you my gun because some kid went Looney Tune on the campus. But let's deal with this. Why can't we bring, and this is just a suggestion, because, you know, they tell me in this new generation, well, you can't be mentioning no Bible. Don't nobody want to be, that's a white man's religion, and we don't know, okay, we don't know what's right, what's wrong, whether it was Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic, English, Jehovah Sats language, whatever. So I won't mention no Bible. Do you think it possible that the American infrastructure of our youth, which is so bent on bestial pleasures, I'll call it that way. My goodness, you can't turn on television now without seeing the youngsters giving in to bestial pleasures. And it seems like the writers that write for television, for the movie stations, for the all those things, it appears like the writers that are writing these scripts are picking the most bodacious, audacious, repugnant, disgusting things to write about, and hiring no-name actors and actresses, these young people that I've never heard of, and have them literally playing in the role most egregious stuff that you would not expect to see your child playing in. And so I'm called to ask myself this question. Do the parents know what their children are doing? Have the parents read the script? What they're trying to put in our young people's minds? I recall when I was raising children in this house, they could not just come in there and watch anything on TV that they wanted to watch, because my wife and I had rules. That's why I asked the question. Do you think that you ought to have rules, even for your teenage children? And do you think that as a parent, you should have the power, the authority to back up those rules, to enforce those rules, and to punish anyone in your infrastructure that do not keep those rules? Do you believe that a parent ought to have that kind of freedom to exercise that right in the face of whoever the hell their children are? Do you think that the children of today would be better off if their parents would use that strap a little bit more when they youngsters and challenge them? Let me tell you about me a little bit. Some of you that know me know about me. I challenge people when I know they are wrong. Don't talk about feelings. Now, let me give you an example. I'm sitting around here around the house, and the bank, or somebody who called himself an employee from the bank, called me. And I said, hello. And they said, I'd like to speak with John Coleman. I said, you speaking to him? What's up? And he said, first thing that came out of his mouth, will you give me the last four digits of your social security number? I said, no, hell no. I said, who are you? Well, I'm calling because. And I said, shut up. I asked who you were, and why are you asking for my information? See, that's the way I was raised. I was raised by my parents like that. I wasn't, oh, whoever calls, they're the, just give them that. Oh, no. No. And the man said, well, I'm trying to help you. And I said, hold on, buddy. Hold the hell on. You can't help me unless I allow you to. And number one, I don't need your help. Now, why do you need that information? See, you're going to answer me before the conversation goes on. And so he says, I know how you're feeling. I said, feeling? And I said, look, fool, I'm about to hang up on you. Either you're going to tell me why you're calling me. Well, I didn't get any further than that. He hung up on me. No, I didn't leave it there. I got in my car and drove to the bank. And I saw why he was calling me, and all he had to do was tell me why he was calling me. But do you know what they do in this society? I'll tell you what they do. There's such a striving for power, one person over another person, and they give these telephone people that they will call here to tell him when this happened on the bank account. I appreciate that, but you're going to tell me what happened. I won't explain it to you. It was a mistake on the behalf of someone else, but I'm still not going to give out pertinent information until you tell me why you need that pertinent information. Now, just like this school teacher in Maryland that jumped on the high school student and whooped that girl down like she was a drug dealer. And it kind of tickled me because I thought about what the teacher that worked in Chicago told me. He said, man, these children are crazy. They cuss you out. They won't do their homework. And then if you're not careful, you go up there and your tires on your car are flatted, or they break the window out your glass. And the poor school teacher's working for slaves' pay. And when the school teacher goes to school, you're babysitting a bunch of nitwits. Some of the students are very bright and can think, but most of them are just thinking about, like me sometimes, the latest pair of sneakers that they're going to wear. I have a right to think like that. I'm retired. I need to treat myself nice. But do you think we need to bring back a moral revolution? Let's say it that way. A moral revolution. Moral relativity. Mandatory. Maybe we can teach a class in school. Look what they're doing. The students won't be allowed back in school until December the something, because the students may need counseling because they saw somebody shot. Some high school students see these movies. They see people shot, bludgeoned, killed, murdered, stabbed every day on TV, on radio. They got games where they talk about each other's parents, play the dozens. These scoundrels are, man, come on. Now, what if I had a child that needed that education? I have to go to work. Now my child's not going to school. My child's going to be home. What do you think the child's going to be doing when he's at home? Huh? What do you think they're going to be doing? High school students, right? They're on a vacation. And then when they go back, what, they got these psychologists in the school. They need some real spiritual people in there that can deal with the spiritual malfunctioning of our young people. You know, made me think about something. I recall years ago when I was working and I was a chaplain for the LAPD, and a city employee had fallen off of a scaffolding device on one of the buildings downtown and broke his neck right in the presence of a bunch of employees that were working in the office area. And My division commander contacted me. I was off that day. And he said, John, can you go downtown to this LAPD office downtown? We have a bunch of employees down there that are shook up because they saw this man fall off. He was washing the windows. And he fell off the scaffold and broke his neck and died right in front of him. And I wonder, well, why did they want me down there? Just bring in the morgue and take the body away. I'll close the blinds so the people won't see it and deal with it. Man, I got down there. Now, I'm talking about police personnel. Policemen and police women. Crying. Hugging each other. Oh, my God, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? First person that they had talked to them was a department psychologist. I never forget that white girl. She got up and she said, oh, she's starting to mention Freud said this and that and the psychological. I said, wait, a cotton picking me. I'm just there. I had on my chaplain collar, my uniform, my ID card, had it all on me. I was in there. I'm in the room with the people because I was working with the people. I was that. And I was a Christian pastor at the same time. That's why they asked the chaplain to come down. They asked the chaplain to come down. And they asked the department nutcase doctor to come down. See, I don't believe in psychology and all that kind of stuff because that bullcrap started in the 40s in Europe. And a lot of those doctors of the mind came over here to this country about the time when the doctors of the H-bomb left Germany and came over here to build the bomb over here so we could experiment on the little yellow people. Have you ever wondered why they didn't ever drop the A-bomb on the Germans, but they dropped it on the Japanese? Well, that was putrid racial hatred from this country. That's what that was. But that's another story altogether. Then they turned to me and they said, we have the department chaplain down here and Pastor, what would you say? I said, thank you, Captain. I said, every day that we go to work, or go to school, or go to church, I just put all the occupations in there. And I just said, I just have one verse to quote to you, and I hope that it gives you comfort. And this is the verse that I quoted. I said, man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. That fella faced his trouble, and we have to face ours. Go wash your face and go back to work and make that money for the city. Good day. And I turned and walked out the door and got in my car and came right back home. Now, do you think that I was hard on them people? No, that Bible verse said, man that is born of a woman, and each of us in that room is born of a woman. When those children went to school a couple of days ago, if their parents had sat down and spoke with those children and said, before you leave, you come here and let me hug you and kiss you, you be careful because this world is full of trouble. And don't think that just because your mom and daddy got a bunch of money and we have insurance and you got clothes and shoes and food and candy and ice cream and television and a telephone with your number on it, that trouble's not going to come your way. There's an old church song we used to sing, as long as I live and trouble rise. You know what that meant? trouble is coming your way. Oh, John, you're a mean. Yeah, that's what they used to call me at the church that I pastor. They call me a mean ass pastor because I told them the truth. Now, your children are going around shooting up other children because of what you gave them the freedom to do. Number one, you gave them the freedom to come around firearms. They ain't got no damn business doing that. What kind of a parent would let a 14 to a 16-year-old kid get to a firearm? Mine is locked up under my care right now. My grandson came here. He couldn't get to my gun. What kind of parents are you people out there? And you know what? I feel sorry for the parents that lost their children and everything. But if you want to go to a meeting and a psychiatrist, where's your gun located at? What are you teaching your what are you teaching your children? How do they handle conflict in their lives? They just want to kill somebody? If you had to talk with your teenager and said, if a boy or a girl at the school was messing with you, how would you resolve that conflict between that boy and that girl? And one of your children said, I'd get your gun and I'd put a bullet in their head. What you need to do is put them on the greatest restrictions, take all of their extra money away from them, put them on house cleaning duty, make them clean the shit house, the toilet, until they learn how to respect life. But no, you're going to give them everything they want, right? See? This was years after Lucy died. I was dating a woman, and she kind of took a liking to my grandchildren. And Christmas came around, and she bought them. Woo! You should have seen the gifts she bought them. I said, girl, you need to take this shit back. That's what I said. And she said, John, I said, they don't deserve that. I've never given my children anything like that for Christmas, let alone my grandchildren. Oh, you're just a man. You don't see me with that woman. I wouldn't even waste my time. And I know where she lived. I would not waste my time even going to my theater. Share the time of day with her. And I told her, you all together are a barren woman, never had children, and thank God you didn't, because you spoil them. You don't give a child everything he wants. What's the matter with you people out there? You give them a hard way to go and let them know that the rest of the people on this planet's going to give them the same kind of distance to go in. Oh, all right, you've shut the church down. You don't want to hear nothing from the Gospels. You don't want to hear nothing about the Bible. One of my young friends may ask me, who wrote that? A white man? I don't give a damn if your mama wrote it. If it makes sense and makes life happier and peaceful. Wait a minute. You want to argue with PJ? I got some for you. I've been trying to tell you to look at Al Jazeera News for a hell of a long time. And if you look at it today, you will see that in practically every country that they highlight that there's people killing each other. Now the Hong Kong police are putting live ammunition in their guns and shooting down the Chinese people in Hong Kong, because the Chinese people said, we don't want to be put under your totalitarian ignorant government. And you know what they're doing to the people? They are shooting them at random in the streets. All right, go to Iran. Gas prices got so high, so the government was going to give a special voucher to some poor Iranians to get gas. Oh, that just set the other ones off. They're burning up city after city over there. Look at Venice. They don't know who to blame. The water's coming in 6 feet, flooding the city. Who'd be foolish enough to build a city there in the first damn place? And then you asking me to go there on a vacation? You got to be out of your mind. Wait a minute. How about in Africa? What's happening there? Well, in the Congo, the Ebola virus has broke out. over 2,000 people dying. Now they're trying to give the virus to all the children. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to protect the next generation. You better tell your children the truth. They're living in a world that has sold to the wind, and now it is reaping the whirlwind. All right, you don't believe me yet, do you? Type in your browser, comet on the way to collide with Earth in the year 2020, and see what article comes up. That's right, they have spotted something out there that's coming right towards this planet, and I think they said sometime in November of 2022, I think it said. November of 2022, because they can project these things. That comet is going to hit this Earth. And if it is of a certain size, wherever you are, you're going to feel the ramifications. You better tell your children the truth. Instead of talking all this dream mess. Now, what Christianity did, that's why I taught eschatology. Oh, I know some of you don't even know what that word means. Eschahu, eschatology, the teachings of the last times. What do you mean the last times? My daughters would say to me, oh, Daddy, you still believe that. Let me tell you something. The Mayans had a calendar which they predicted certain world events. We have lived through those predictions. Why would not you think that an ancient Hebrewic culture would not be given insight from God to warn us during this day and age? But that's all right, because I know everybody's going to be bowing down to Jesus when they've literally come to their own personal end. But you know what? I'm going to get back in touch with my preacher friend. And called me. He was on the way to church with his kids in the car. And he called Pastor John. And I told him, it's not going to end. It's going to continuously get worse and worse. I'm so glad that I raised my children during the time before these crazy people start bringing guns to school. Now, let me tell you something. If some of you think that that Epstein guy hung himself in that jail cell in New York City, you are out of your mind. The powers that be hung him because he was running a whorehouse for the elite, and he would talk if he went to trial. Now, the so-called Prince of England is seen coming out the house talking about he liked to stay at Jeffrey's house. You know what was happening at Jeffrey's house? But you know what? You can walk around with your head in the sand like an ostrich when everybody else reaps their whirlwind. You will be pragmatically placed in the middle of that puzzle. And you're going to reap yours too. This is PJ in the Lucy Coleman studio with the webcast on this date, the 17th of November, 2019. Thanks a lot for coming to my site.